Welcome to LeagueCast.
Hello and welcome to episode 603 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm Nick Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Rockarts.
I am Aiden Rockarts.
And Colton Swit.
I am also Aiden Rockarts.
Whoa. Hey, on this episode, we got a little bit of LeagueCast news, a lot of new news, and then we'll probably just jump all the way into Roundtable and Mail Fight, because I think the news will take up most of the show. So first, Aiden, how was your week?
My week was good. I started playing a little bit of Ranked today, more just for fun. I also like want to be able to talk about the game, but I was off for most of the week. I was doing a little vacation. As of now, though, I started playing Ranked, and I because my student, I guess, is the way I should describe them, linked this thing about this Renekton guide from this Challenger player. And I'm a big fan of saying Renekton's actually just a strong character, and I think Renekton's always been a strong character. I think there's maybe been like a point or two where, like, at his worst, he's really fucking strong in lane, and then weak after. But that's like at his worst. But I think he's really strong right now. And this guy, yeah, he linked a guide, and the guide's pretty cool. It's involving you start Eon Renekton, and then you like level two them with your W, with like Conquer, Ignite, everything, and you kill them. And you also max W first. You put 3 points Q, max W, then max E, because your W goes down to like a 5 second cooldown when you get like Gore Drinker and Lucidity Boots. And his W is really fucking strong.
So, yeah, we looked it up. It's a 225% total AD ratio when it's empowered at level 5.
Yeah, so I just gripped and ripped it in a D1, D2 ranked game. And there was a point where I got a 1v3 triple kill. So I linked that play in our Discord. And I said, yeah, this character is fucking OP. I actually don't think the character is super OP by any means. I just think he's always in a good state, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's got a lot of tools, like you said, to like get ahead and snowball it. Mm-hmm. Right, like strong laning characters will always have that, even if they are like weak late or maybe not even like the best character in the role. It's like if you know how to play it, you can probably still be up like 3-0 at 10 minutes.
Yeah, Renekton's late game has gotten a lot better than it used to be, though. So he's not even like that bad late.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything else?
Other than that, nothing actually too crazy. Kind of just been playing other stuff. I'm excited for Starfield. That's about it.
Yeah, Starfield should be pretty fun.
You made a long journey, didn't you?
Yeah, sorry. I unplugged my headset, so I can't hear you guys. But yeah, I fucking took a long drive. But I'm back home now. Long drives are not fun.
No. You don't even have many episodes of LeagueCast to listen to.
I listened to 4 books.
Well, that's a long drive.
One of the books is like almost done, and then one of them was like a short book, but then I listened to 2 long books. When I say drive. Long books, I'm never going to listen to like a 40-hour book, but like I listened to the end of Sea of Solitude, which is really, really good, and then I listened to All of Remains of the Day, which is really good, and then I listened to Metamorphosis, which is like a short book, and then I listened to all of Circe, which is like the person who wrote Song of Keeley's, their second book, so that was really good too.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you, Cole?
He has to listen to them because he doesn't know how to read.
I do prefer listening to books, mostly because I think like driving time is just such dead time. Like, there's so little things you can do, and like at most, it's like you can listen to a podcast or like music. And I'm getting to the point where I feel like I need my time to be used for something like that has more value, which is a dumb thing to think. You should be able to spend your time however you want, but like books feel like a better use of time than music, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think everyone at a certain point is like, man, I should use like my time for things to like improve myself or learn something. But also, yeah, it's totally fine to just enjoy something.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, a funny like comedy podcast or just good music. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So my week, I have been still playing a good amount on my mid account. I've been in and out of Emerald One probably like 6 times this week. Currently Emerald won 0 points, played a couple last night and lost all 3.
Oof.
Yeah. It was wild. I played one game where after an early gank, there's like no reason I should have ever been able to like play in the lane anymore, but then I like ended up stomping him and like roaming a lot and we still lost. But there was like a really early gank that my jungler did, and then their jungler showed up, and it ended up being like our jungler died, I had to leave lane, and I lost probably 2.5 waves, as well as like both of my summoners. But then the Xerath just did nothing with that massive lead.
Nice.
It ended up being a very frustrating game, because then that jungler like started pinging everyone, and I'm like, my guy, you're down CS, you've ganked less, you're like 1-6 on objectives, you're not the one who gets to flame here. Junglers that do that really irritate me, where it's like you didn't get a single lane ahead, you didn't get objectives, you're like, how is this anyone's fault but your own?
The jungler's fault.
It's always the jungler's fault, except for when I'm the jungle, then it's my teammate's fault.
True.
The other game I played top lane, I dumpstered top and it didn't matter. So I got the top lane experience, I got filled, and I lost my two games and called it. I think part of what's affecting my climb is I'm getting back into the classic Colton syndrome of I'm gonna pick a different character every fucking game.
And then flame your friends when they tell you to pick the one that you said you wanted to be good at.
Which one was even that?
When I told you to play Aurelion Sol and you said no.
Nah, but I am good at Aurelion Sol already, so I can't play him anymore.
True.
I got good at him, so I have to stop playing him.
I see.
That's the rule.
Sorry.
That's how this works. You were also telling me to play Akshon, who I think I've played 4 games of.
Yeah, I told you to play Akshon because you wouldn't play Aurelion Sol. So you might as well troll if you're going to troll.
True. You're so right.
Wise beyond my years.
I've also been playing Baldur's Gate. Have had a lot of small issues with it, but overall,
that's just because you're a D&D nerd.
Part of it is definitely that, but a lot of it is just like little things where I'm like, I would love to be able to actually control this, or just like quality of life stuff. Like some of the inventory management, I feel like could be done a lot better. The fact that jumping isn't part of regular movement, so you have to like issue a jump command to go up a 5-foot ledge. It's like,
yeah, that sucks.
You know I want to jump here. Like I understand it for parts of the map where you're like you would have had to like jump there to access it, and that are like meant to be a little more hidden, I guess. But if it's just like a regular hillside, where obviously I'm going to need to go to the top because I can see the little encampment up there. Like, just automatically jump, man.
Game of the year, though.
Game of the year, for sure.
Game of the year.
I'm not going to list any of my other complaints because I think it's being pretty negative. And I think overall it is a very good game.
Game of the year, so. Level of good.
Game of the year level of
it is just because you hate it doesn't mean it's not gonna be game of the year.
I just think it, so like this is such a dumb like, so I understand why it's a dumb take, but I also think it's still a good take. Is like, I think niche games can never be game of the year. Is that crazy? They can be like someone's game of the year, but I feel like game of the year has to at least appeal to like kind of a broad
do you audience. I mean, I haven't seen the sales, but they're like exceedingly high, right?
Yeah.
Do you,
I guess, like maybe
like
I just don't like that type of game.
Yeah, that's okay.
But I still feel like it's like pretty niche, like all things considered.
I see.
Maybe it's not, though. Maybe it's just not that niche. I feel like that genre is pretty niche, though.
I don't feel like it's that.
That genre is, I think, for sure.
Obviously, it's like the biggest one in the genre, but like what? Like, is it fair to say Divinity 2 is the same genre?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say like that game isn't like, that game feels like such a niche game. maybe I'm just having this thoughts because like this one, like this is the first game in that genre that isn't super niche. Not that, like, I know Divinity is like still really popular, but I still feel like it's like, I couldn't ask like most people what Divinity, and they'd say that's Divinity 2, right? Like,
mm-hmm. It's sold 5 million copies, so it's definitely not like Elden Ring level popular, like Breath of the Wild, like nothing like that, but it's definitely not small.
Yeah, I guess like Game of the Year is just like a weird thing because it's trying to apply something to everyone, right?
Yeah.
Like my favorite game of all time is The Witness, and I think that's probably on like almost zero people's Game of the Year for 2016 when it came out, or whenever 2015.
Yeah,
and it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's just Game of the Year is a bad way to describe stuff because to me it feels like it has to be like almost like broad appeal. But
no, I think that makes sense. But I do think 5 million is probably broad enough.
Well,
but
I
also don't know
it.
If it's Game of the Year. So
if I don't say it's Game of the Year, it's not Game of the Year.
It cannot be your Game of the Year.
True.
No, when they go around and print the newspaper saying, hey, this is a Game of the Year, they always ask me before they print
it.
Oh,
I see.
And I say, nope, this one isn't.
Should we go through your repertoire?
He can't recommend anything, but he does get the exclusive veto power.
Hold on. I'll give you my short list because I have it on GG app, which, by the way, is still my favorite website. Mm-hmm. It's an app that you like use to like rank games and show games that you played and stuff like that. These are my top five games. I only have five games in this category, and it's called Please Play These Games. And it's The Witness, Outer Wilds, Inscription, Cuphead, and Hades. And those are my five games that I would like anyone in the world to play. I would recommend those games to anyone.
I've played a couple of those.
And then I have another list called Near Perfect Games that I don't necessarily think everyone would enjoy, but if you do enjoy, then it'll be an easy 10 out of 10. But that's 13 games, and I won't go through them all.
Did you agree with the wording Sekiro Game of the Year in 2019?
I think that'd be fine, yeah. I mean, it's probably still pretty niche, but it's really good.
Well, you either did or you didn't deny.
Did I? I would have agreed to that.
Ooh, it was actually a different game.
Ooh.
Wow, Aiden caught in 4K.
I thought you were asking me if I would have approved it for being for game.
I did.
Oh, okay.
I double trolled you.
Double trolled.
Damn.
Anyway,
you're really getting flipped around.
that's about it for my week, Nick. What you been up to?
Played a lot of Baldur's Gate. Played I think 3 ranked games. I played very, very well in 2, and I went 1-1, and then played not so well in the last one and lost that one as well. But I am platinum 4, so I'm coming for you, Colton. Very slowly but surely.
Yeah, dude, 700 LP to go.
700 LP, that's easy. Easy peasy.
Easy for you, probably, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what my games are. I don't remember. But it can't be that bad. Otherwise, not too much. Just getting ready for the hurricane that's coming. So that'll be pretty fun. And I think that's about it. So I guess we can just move on. Do we have any LeagueCast news?
No LeagueCast news other than Nick and I will have the OP.GGs done by Thursday.
Yeah. I'll be working on mine tomorrow. Cool. Should we move into the new news then? We got a lot of stuff to do. All right. So first up, what is this Riot AI video?
So Riot Latin America released a video to celebrate Latin America as like a esports region. Okay. I'm not sure if there was like a milestone they hit or something. Either way, they put out a celebration video, and I'm a good storyteller because I don't know the reason why they put it out. Either way, it was like a video that just was like a bunch of video footage with like AI filters put over it, so it just like fucking took people like cheering in crowd and fucking morphed them into like blobs.
Cool.
I don't know, some of it like was cool, I guess, and then a lot of it just looked like shit. It is just one of those things where it's just like it feels like a lazy thing that they paid someone to just quickly like do. I think AI is not as bad as other people think it is.
I don't think so either, yeah.
But it is pretty cringe as like a celebratory video just to throw something through like AI filters trying to make people like look like characters, and they only gave it one pass for sure because like anything that's not in the foreground just fucking like the blob monster from yikes. The sea. But I don't know, it was bad. You can like look up like I'm sure someone's re-uploaded the video because they took it down immediately after. Looked like shit, man. It looked pretty bad.
Okay, interesting.
So it's just like, I don't know. It's not really like all Riot's fault, because I'm sure it's just like the Latin America like esports department's like, hey, we should make something. And then they probably had zero budget and zero time. And that's what they came up with. But it feels like someone else in the chain of command should go, hey, we shouldn't post this.
There should be some social media QA person saying like, hey, this looks
Yeah, because I really do. I don't think it's like anyone directly in the process's fault. I'm sure they. I mean, we had this. This is kind of related. In a similar note, EG, not I guess in a kind of similar note, EG put out a video this week where, it was like one of those quiz things that like everyone does. Like, oh, this is this character on their double E. They're they can stun someone for up to whatever seconds, and they can go invulnerable, whatever. And they try to guess the characters with like hints and stuff like that. Like tons of like the EU broadcast does it. Travis Gafford does it sometimes. Anyways, EG put out a video where they just ripped every single one of the questions from
the from LEC, right?
From LEC.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, that's super lame. But I am kind of defending this a little bit, mostly because I know someone directly involved with that video. I think that a lot of stuff should not be put on the people directly when I think management structures of esports in general are very poorly put together, and I would be more apt to blame like the person directly responsible for the Latin America esports video or the EG video probably was in crunch to get something out, had to like pump something quick. Their fucking boss wanted something ASAP. They didn't look over it, or they like literally just fucking grabbed something to like hope it worked or whatever. Or maybe like no one else on their team like second viewed it, like looked over it and like still thought it was okay or whatever. It just feels like a lot of these things are. Actually, I don't think the EG one's like put on the actual person that I know like very much. But like I do think that like these people do get a lot of shit for being put in bad positions, right? Like I would hate to see the person on EG or the person directly responsible for the Latin America video get a lot of direct backlash when I am so fucking certain that like more of the issues come from like time crunch, chain of command, resources, budget, all those other things, right?
To move it to a metaphor and also like go completely to the far end, it's like if you just put a random person in a cockpit of a plane and they crash the plane, it's not really their fault because you put a random person there. Like
it's obviously not to like fully absolve them from blame too. Like you should at some point like realize that maybe it's directly stealing content or not asking for permission to use the content or just running a fucking video through a fucking AI filter maybe isn't the best way to do your job. But I also understand how people get into those positions. And that's kind of like my main point.
I think that's super common in, you know, not just esports by any means, where it's like you were not given the resources or a structure in which there was any way to do this well, and then you are marked as the one primarily responsible.
Yeah, and I think the EG one is like double as bad because I think people already hate EG for all the other reasons right now. Yeah. So like when anything goes wrong, they like super want to hate on it. I think like any org would have got shit for it, but they would have probably got less shit, if that makes sense. Like, I great example right now. Everyone loves NRG because they just won LCS, right? And they put this video series right now where they get their pro players to hire like a coach from like Fiverr for like whatever, like a cheap coach, or maybe not. So I don't even think it's a cheap coach. I think they're good coaches from whatever site, right? And they pretend to be like a silver player and get coaching, and then obviously by the end they're like, "Oh, I'm this pro player, yeah." And the person's like, "Oh, that's so funny. Thank you so much for featuring me." And it's they're super positively reviewed overall. I think the concept's fine. I personally have no issues with this, but we are in the situation where you have pro players playing on someone else's account. It's a level 400 silver account that's been silver every year. It's not fucking Dokla's account. Smurfing in silver, just beating the piss out of people, right? And it's like, and it's only like one game here and there or whatever, like to get the video or whatever. But these are all the things that people fucking hate about the game. People hate smurfing. People hate account share. People, like, it just feels like because these are liked people, it's okay. Even though if Jimmy from our Discord, who hates Smurf so much, just had Dokla beat his fucking ass in, he probably wouldn't like that as much, right?
No,
like,
it probably wouldn't be a well-received video.
But it's just like, cause it's so abstract. It's like, you see him doing this fun thing. And I think overall, like, I think it's worth the cost of someone smurfing in someone's game, because it produces good content that creates views for the LOL esports system.
And it doesn't actually affect that person's climb at all.
Yeah. It's just more the fact that, like, I think there is this weird, like, double-edged sword of they are doing everything that people constantly hate, but it's presented in like a good light. So I don't know. It's just, it feels like if, for example, if that was EG, who made that video, I bet it would be received less positively, if that makes sense. I still think it would be overall positive because it's a good concept for video. But definitely the way that an org currently is perceived definitely affects how stuff like that goes, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a reason like TSM is still being received well. It's because they did well in the split.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Either way, like lots of stuff related to like that happening right now. Very interesting stuff. I would recommend watching the NRG videos. They have one with Contracts and one with Doka, and they're both really funny videos because they have two other players in their ear telling them what to do. So like Doka is playing Lee Sin and Contracts is like, ward hop out of base. And he like ward hops out of base. He's like, gotta get to my buff quicker or something. And it's really funny, right? Like it's a fucking funny video, but like at the end of the day, he is just smurfing in silver playing on someone else's account, and those are things that I've heard are not good.
Cool. What is next?
Do you want to jump into the big thing right now? I guess the big thing is the most of it.
It's everything else on here.
It's most of it, yeah. So Riot announced their preseason changes in a dev blog that came out earlier this week. So I'm going to run through everything really quick, and then we can like maybe hop through them one by one after. So the first thing they talk about is that there's going to be 3 rank splits starting next year. This season will now go to the end of the year, which we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, why the fuck is this season 4 months and then last season was 6 months? It's because they're going to extend this current season to the end of the year, and then there's going to be 0 town time between splits. There's going to be 3 rank splits consisting of 4 months each with 3 ranked skins / 3 resets. So the new season will launch exactly with the ranked season rather than like having this weird period where the new season's live but rank's not live for like a month or something like that. Other things, mythic items are being removed. The mythic system is being removed, I guess is the better way of putting it, because some items will stay. Others will be reworked into legendaries. Arena is back in December. It obviously is off the client now, I think, as of today or maybe tomorrow. Nexus Splits is back in October. New bots are coming to the BBE. These are going to be like super beginner bots, but they're going to like actually be able to jungle, actually be able to gank lanes and stuff. So they're going to behave more like players so that new players can get a better taste of what bots are and learn the game properly through bots. And then last but not least, Jax is getting a visual / audio update revealed in sometime in September.
Poggers. I guess so, like, we'll just go straight down the line. How about that?
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about 3 ranked splits?
I think it's fine. Especially like, so I know you initially had the, I guess I can let you speak about it, but you kind of had the idea that like, it feels like there's no break, which there isn't anymore. Mm-hmm. That being said, when I heard it reframed as right now we have, or currently we have 2 5-month ranked splits with like a tiny down period at the end of the season or whatever, like a month down period, and then like a week down period in the middle. So instead of going from like 2 5-month seasons, we're going to go to 3 4-month seasons. And that felt like much more like a, oh, this isn't as bad or as drastic of a change as I initially thought. So, I mean, I'm firstly fine with it. Like the reality, people are like, oh, we have to grind forever. It's like, you could just also just take a split off. Like, it's not like a big deal. You know what I mean?
So my thoughts, and I don't think they've changed too much, is that I think this is fantastic for League of Legends to like get people to play all the time instead of having this like on and off cycle where you know it damages them via skill level, and then occasionally we have people who play in the preseason and still don't understand that they like that the ranked games during preseason actually have an impact on your MMR and account and climb in the future. So I think like removing that aspect of it is very, very good. I just think for me personally, it's too much without a break, right? It's, you know, I don't want to get to like, let's just assume, you know, get to diamond and then be forced to play every single month without like any respite at all, and God forbid if it's like any climb faster than that.
I guess just the counterpoint to that really quick is that, like, let's just say like the new split starts or whatever. You just decide not to play for the first couple weeks. You want to like play other games, whatever, and then you hit diamond, you're locked into this like decay cycle, but the decay cycle is only 3 months at that point. So like you have to play like how many games is it? You have to store up to 30 games, right? So like you only have to play,
yeah,
I guess a little bit more than 12, like let's just say 14 for like the rest of the split, that if you take like a month off at the beginning. which is super true. Manageable. And then like, and then it resets, and then you can take another break, right? Like, it feels like the more consistent breaks means you have to maintain decay less often, in my head at least. Maybe I'm like doing some fucking reverse like math.
Well, no, I just mean like instead of, so like in terms of the splits being what, shorter in the future but longer now, like, yes, you don't have to maintain for as long, but you also get those 2 months of like no play whatsoever, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess like, yeah, it's going from riot sanctioned time off to at your own leisure time off, right? But if you use it properly,
you have to be a big boy and give yourself time off.
If you do it properly, though, I think it's just like a system that like gives you more time to breathe as a Diamond Plus player, in my head at least, right? At least the way I'm viewing it. Also, the other thing that I think is really nice that we as a collective have been complaining about is that Apex tiers are a fucking nightmare, because going from Master 0 LP to, by the end of the season, 800 LP to hit GM is fucked. The shorter seasons will mean people will climb less high on average, right? We might still see like challenger players reach like close to 2k, but like on average, like Grandmaster is probably gonna, like, my guess when the new season runs around next year, I think Grandmaster is gonna sit around 500 LP, right?
Wow,
which is
okay.
Way more, man, because you have less months to like for a collective of people to push up the LP barrier, right? And not to say it makes it any easier, because it doesn't. You're still playing against the exact same people, but it makes the barrier seem more achievable, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that's how it goes.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I definitely think, like, for League as a whole, it's awesome. Like, this is a great change. It should have happened a long time ago, for sure.
Yeah, it's every modern game, right? It fucking has, like, permarank seasons.
What were you saying, Colton?
I was just going to say, I think I'm definitely alongside Aiden with this, where I think it's just a matter of giving yourself off time at any point during the three seasons, or saying, like, I'll play two out of three. Personally, I dislike the, like, 2 month off period, because it feels too long to me. And, like, I get, like, 3-4 weeks into it, and I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. Like, I want to go back to playing real ranked, but I have to wait a month before it's, like, real again. Which I don't like, so I like that this kind of gets rid of that. And then, yeah, like, if I want to take a break, like Aiden was saying, I'll just take the first month of the split off. I'll probably take another month to, like, get where I want to be, and then at that point I just need to, like, play Decay games for 2 months, as opposed to, I think, there have been times where it's like, oh, okay, I can get to my rank now and have to play, like, my Decay games for the next 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess I'll just sit at D1, so I only have to play, like, a few Decay games. Like,
the Aiden Classic.
If you ever have to do that math, I think that system is, like, rough. Where it's like, man, I want to play the game, but if I get a high rank, I have to play it more often than I want to.
Dude, the difference between playing 4 games in a month to main Diamond Decay versus to maintain Diamond Decay versus playing 28 games in a month to maintain Master Decay is crazy.
It really just feels like a lot.
And I feel like that is one thing that they could probably consider adjusting, where for Master, maybe just make it like 8, or make it like, you know, a little bit, because right now it's just a game a day, right? So let's say it's a game every other day for Master, and like a game a day for GM and Challenger or something. Like, you could certainly have that, you know, tier down. And I think for the vast majority of that very small minority of players, like, I don't think anyone really cares if you're camping at like Master's 10 LP. The only time that I think anyone has, like, rightfully upset was in the past, where you could be like, oh, cool, I got the top rank in Challenger, and now I'm just not going to play for 2 months.
It's funny, because we also glorified that back in the day, where, like, you'd have, like, Wild Turtle playing, like, have, like, 4 top 5 accounts or whatever, because, like, obviously there's no Decay. Like, there was Decay, but, like, there wasn't, like constant games that you had to play sort of thing. So like it was much easier to maintain like a bunch of challenger.
Yeah, it was like one a week.
Yeah, it was like whatever. It's just like to stop the actual points from going down. But yeah, no, I completely agree. I just think that, like my original pitch when like I was tweeting at some like Riot dev, like this is like when like is maybe 2 or 3 years ago, the first time I was hitting Master tier, where I was like, oh, my change would be that like in Master, like games that you bank count as like 3, and then in Grandmaster it's 2, and then Challenger it's 1, right? So like you have to play the equivalent of 5 games in a 2 week period versus 7 games in a 2 week period versus 14 games in a 2 week period, right? For the 3 different ELOs, which seems pretty fair. That seems good,
yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Definitely, cool. Yeah. So I'm a fan of the 3 splits. I'm interested. I do think there's going to be, as with every change that ever comes, there's going to be like some level of League players taking it and making it toxic. So I'm sure there's going to be players who flame you or like, oh, you were plat and then gold and then plat. I guess you just sucked last split. You're terrible at the game and I hate you. Yeah, or I mean, they're going to be like, oh, you were only diamond that one split out of the whole year. You're not actually a diamond player.
It is interesting because I think the general like consensus that I've seen on Twitter, Reddit, and then a little bit in our Discord is that like they're making me play so much, but I feel like you can just not play and that's fine. I guess a lot of people think that like every single time you reset it's a slog to get back, but in my assumption is that they're going to make it also easier again to like keep, I mean, if they reduce the rank season by another month, right, you'd assume they're going to increase LP gains by like another 10%.
Yeah, I wonder
whatever,
if they're going
right?
to, or just make the reset like not a real reset. If
well,
that
yeah, or
sense.
It's lighter resets. Obviously, they're probably going to keep it at like 5 Flamesmith games, which makes sense. I also saw a post from a rioter today that said that they're also going to look into why people's, or they're going to look into how to fix people from having such negative LP gains without overinflating everyone. Because like right now, it's like, if your solution to making it so people don't get plus 22 minus 27 is to make it so that your negative LP gains can only go like so far, like you cap them, in theory that will inflate people. So I'm curious what their solution is, but it's nice that they're looking into it because I think that's probably the most sought after thing right now. People like are so demotivated as soon as they start getting like negative gains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to the like one of the core issues with League, and that is visible rank and MMR not being aligned, right? And that's the reason that you have like out of whack gains versus losses, is because your MMR is significantly different from your visible rank and it's trying to get those things to line up. So right, like that's the core issue at play, and there's I'm sure a ton of ways they could go about trying to fix that problem. Interested to see what they do, but it's certainly one, like you're saying, that's very demoralizing for players and it feels bad. Whereas like if it was the opposite, and you know, if more people were like, oh, my MMR is like significantly higher than my visible rank, I guess it would be like climbing would feel slower, but I feel like people would still look at like plus more for wins, minus less for loss, and like feel better about it.
Yeah, I mean, every system that I was like thinking about, because like it is a hard problem to solve, is like, fuck, every system I can think of like literally just slows the ranked climb, which maybe that's what they will end up having to do. Even though the seasons are shorter, you still have to have a slower climb, but it will make it so that you get like less bad loss negatives or whatever. But I don't know, maybe they'll come up with something crazy, or they'll just let people get a little bit inflated if you play enough games, and that's also not the end of the world.
Yeah, I don't think so either, and I feel like the odds of that happening is like pretty
and
low
also
probably.
Like you can only get so inflated over your rank, right?
Yeah, because exactly,
in theory, if like I'm a Master player and I'm so inflated that I get to Challenger, I'm going to start losing the majority of my Challenger games, right? Like, you can only be so inflated. You definitely could get inflated, but it's only to whatever the system will allow you to be, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But, cool.
Do we want to, I think the next really big thing is the Mythics.
Yeah. You want to go through this, one of you two?
Sure. I mean, so I don't know why they're really doing this. I didn't read this update. Like, I guess it's because players are complaining about, like, build diversity and, like, I can't do XYZ. Like, this is too strong.
Well, they said
the gist
that
of it from about, yeah, sorry, go
on. I was just going to say about half of the champions have, like, a really, really good set of like mythics and options between that, and it feels really good. And then there's another like half their estimation that just don't quite fit into one. So instead of forcing a mythic on everyone, they're going to remove that and try to like balance the mythic items that they do keep in an effort to like, yeah, to kind of get rid of the forced mythic purchase.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think it's going to be drastically different come next season, because, like, I think most characters are still going to have, like, their best first item, mythic or not, that 99% of players are going to buy first every time and not think about. And, like, a good portion are going to buy the next, like, two or three items as well without ever thinking about it. One of the things I liked the most about the mythic system, honestly, was that it locked you out of certain options, which I'm interested to see when they, like, remove mythics. It seems like a lot of them, they're just going to be turning into other legendary items. I would hope that they turn most of them into legendaries, or that they add a bunch to compensate, because I think less items is not the answer.
Yeah.
But the aspect of like locking characters out of certain thing, I think, was the good part of that system. And I guess worried that without it, we're gonna see it's weird, because I don't think items are gonna be too strong, because like everybody will still be able to buy them all, but there will be like frustrating combinations where like, man, I really wish they could only buy one of these two items.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to just jump in? Because like I just like drove home the day that they like put all these changes in. So I was like on the couch when I got home, and I like didn't watch the video, but I was like reading the comments like from our Discord, and I'm like, I'm asking like, are they just gonna remove them all? Because I haven't watched the video, and I'm like asking people. It's crazy that like I don't think most people watch those videos. I think they just read like the headlines and stuff.
Yeah.
And I know I'm in the scenario where I didn't watch it. I was just asking, because I'm like, oh, are they just gonna remove 27 items? Like in my head, like if they remove 27 items, they have to add at least like 27 back, right? Or like at least like maybe like 20 back, or like maybe they'll rework like some of them. And I watched the video like a couple hours later, because like people were like, yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do, and they say it like the next line of like the screenshotted like thing that like they're removing them, but they're also gonna rework all the like fan favorite ones. And it's just mm-hmm. so funny that like I think that's just such a great way to explain online discourse of like everyone's discussing something that no one's watched.
Yeah, I mean it's like the classic like online like argument tactic, right? Like you just link something that you haven't read, but the headline supports your like supports your argument. I mean, going back, we had a friend who linked us an article that said redheads were like going to go extinct. Linked an article, and literally the very first line of the article that wasn't the headline was, "No, but like that." I mean, that's not going to happen. So, like, I don't know, just completely, this is a long time ago, but, you know, completely went against his argument if he had read even just the first line.
Yeah, no, it's super funny. Either way, like, so the gist of it is, yeah, they're removing mythics because they don't meet, like, the requirements that they set out, which is cool. Once again, this is a Riot going back on something that they thought was good, and they decided wasn't a good thing, so really good for them to change something that they didn't actually think panned out the way they wanted. They will be keeping the fan favorite ones. So, for example, unless like something changes from now until preseason, stuff like Protobolt will come back in some way. Heartsteel will probably come back in some way. Heartsteel, apparently they're having some troubles with trying to figure out how to fit it, because currently I think their current the thing they were like, there's lots of comments. So, like, this is the issue with like not having like the old forums from back in like 2013, is there used to be a thing on the forum called Red Tracker, which was you click on this and it shows you every single Riot comment on every single post, right? Like in like chronological order from like most recent to oldest. it's fucking hard when writers like comment on just buried threads about stuff.
Yeah.
But anyways, like one writer was talking about like Heartsteel, for example, and they're saying that they're going to make it, they want to still have the stacking size thing and the big like proc and stuff like that. But they're going to try to move it away from being based on total health and more based on bonus health, right? Because right now it's like it works kind of grossly with characters like Sion or Cho, mm-hmm. who just like stack so much health that like this tank now is a high damage dealer because they built defensive stats, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It seems like they're pretty open to keeping a lot of the cool ones. I think there's a lot that I don't know how they're going to keep, though. Like, how do you keep Gale Force in like its current form in like as an item any AD carry can build alongside all their other mythics, right?
You have to make it do zero damage, like the active, and you exclusively buy it for the mobility, and I think that's the only way it could ever function as a legendary.
Yeah, it just seems really like they have their work cut out for them. Like that's the biggest thing that I'm like worried about, because it's a lot that they have to balance somehow. But it's cool. I think in a perfect world, this gives way more item diversity, right? In a not perfect world, this is gonna be a mess.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I also don't necessarily think that the mythics were like a failure the way that I think most people and I guess also Riot does. But yeah, it is funny to see this being like proclaimed as like what League needs to increase item diversity, when I feel like there are a lot of people who are making those comments and we're not playing in early League when there were no mythic items and item diversity was next to non-existent.
I do think another thing is like we're also looking at through certain perspectives. Like, for example, I do think mages, for example, were probably the worst off with the mythic system, not from like the items being shit or anything, but from like you always go first item Luden's mythic, right? You always go Everfrost Luden's. Sorry, I said Luden's mythic, Lost Chapter mythic. Leandre's,
because Lost Chapter was just like so fucking good.
Yeah. And like I guess AD carries had it a little bit, but theirs was like you always built like a non-mythic item first, like for the most part, other than like I scale for us, sometimes you'd rush, but like and then you'd go your mythic second. Mm-hmm. And I think so. The two classes that were always like you have to go mythic first were mages and assassins. I found, right, like, or lethality users is probably a better way to classify them. Whereas like I think like tanks, bruisers, supports, there's probably another class I'm missing, we're all probably pretty fine. Where like you could build a bunch of legendary items and then a mythic, mm-hmm. or like fit your mythic in first, or you can go mythic.
Even like I would say mages are the only ones that were pretty hard capped into it because they have to go Lost Chapter, mm-hmm. and when you've already invested like what is it 1300 for a while, then down to 1100 gold into an item, it's like way more efficient to just finish it. Like even lethality users, like for the most part I think rush the mythic, but you could certainly go first item like Umbral Glaive, yeah. or first item mm-hmm. Yomu's before they turned it to a mythic. Like that was very common to be like, I'm just getting this for the stats and the mobility, or I'm getting this to clear wards, like, as well as them being like significantly cheaper than the mythic. Like, I don't think there's any class other than mage that actually had to go first item mythic.
Yeah, and that's fair.
It's interesting because, like, so I talked about in the Discord a little bit. I think we mentioned it on the show maybe last week or the week before, but with more thought, I actually think the mage mythics are like the most fair in terms of maybe fair isn't the right word, but the most like well executed or designed out of any class. Like
there's a shitload of mages that go all of them.
and if you look at it feels like you're really making a choice with yours, right? Like I need to survive this burst damage, so I'm gonna go crown this game, or I really need to like shred a tank, or just like want to deal consistent like poke damage, so I'm gonna go Leandre's, or wow, I need burst via, you know, magic pen, so I'll go Luden's, or burst via just extra damage, so then I'll go Night Harvester. Like I need mobility, so there's just a ton of like I don't know. There's a ton of really, really good, like, widespread options that I think, like, it feels bad to make that choice and then lose access to some of the other ones. But I think, like, in hindsight, that's going to be, like, one of the best examples of the Mythic system done correctly.
Yeah, I think a lot of the other Mythics were just, like, do I choose big damage A or big damage B or big damage C? Like, they're all vaguely the same.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ian.
I was just going to say, I also want to say, like, that I also think, like, a lot of that wasn't even explored that much, right? As much as we, like, say that you always go X item on X character, and the reality is, like, so, like, someone like LS is a big champion of, like, people building wrong and stuff like that. We might have gotten to the point that if people explored it enough, they would have just switched from going, for example, most people go Ludens on Annie, right? That's the common thing. He's a big champion of the idea of going Ludens on her instead of Liandry's, because if you take Ingenious Hunter, Ludens procs twice from your full combo during bear, like, stun.
Okay.
So, like, the idea is that you get even more burst because you're getting two Ludens procs in one combo, which is fucking crazy, right? Or the same thing with Aurelion Soul, that he has this weird interaction that if you go Ludens with Ingenious Hunter, you're, like, I don't know how it works still. I haven't, like, been able to figure it out. But, like, your Ludens just procs really fast sometimes, so, which crazy increases your damage.
You proc it frequently from, like, spell casts, and each spell, I think, can shave off 3 seconds. And because he has two dot spells in his W and his, his E and his Q, they both reduce it by 3 seconds each. I think it's 3 seconds at least.
And maybe it's, like, unique targets as well, because, like, sometimes it would just go down, like, a shitload.
Oh, I guess it could be. Yeah,
It's, like, I don't know how that worked, but I know he was championing the idea of, like, people are building Liandry's or Crown on this character, whereas, like, Ludens is, like, a crazy good burst option if you, like, actually understand how this works. I'm sure he actually has a video explaining how it works, but, like, it's crazy that, like, we're talking about the one class that, like, had the most options, but there are even more options that, like, people didn't even start doing yet.
yeah. It's really funny because I actually asked Justin, I don't remember what his, like, gamer tag is.
Lol Soul,
like, about Ludens in our interview with him. And I don't actually think, like, it ended up being a good idea because he couldn't, because I thought you could proc it infinitely with your Q, but you can only proc it, you know, 3 seconds, shave 3 seconds off with your Q. But it's really cool to see that, like, come full circle, you know?
Yeah, no, it's great. I love the fact that people constantly find more and more new things about the game. It is sad that when, like look at Dota, like, a game that gets so infrequent patches, people just find new shit, like, constantly.
Yeah.
It feels like we probably don't get enough time for, like, League to do that, even though I also think I'd probably also be miserable if we didn't get changes as often. Really.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword.
Definitely double-edged sword.
I think I want to jump on one thing really quick as we're talking about, like, these mage mythics, in that I think another usage of the mage mythics that I think very few people ever talked about, but I heard about and thought was very, like, interesting, was taking Crown into poke lanes. Particularly this example is into Jace, because you get it up every wave, basically. It's like a 40-second cooldown, and then if you have, like, anything to reduce it, you're closer to, like, that 30 seconds per minion wave. So if he, like, just EQs you every wave, you're just going to reduce every single one of those shock blasts by, like, that's a massive amount. As well as, like, he does have good all-in, but, like, it's not just a solution to assassins, because there are plenty of assassins, I think, who can, like, easily proc it and then go in on you 2 seconds later, versus, like, right, there's other uses for that mythic besides just all ends. And I agree that, like, a lot of those systems are not explored deeply by the majority of the player base, and I think there's a lot more we could have learned with more time and more willingness to experiment with the mythic system. I also think a lot of, like, itemization issues came down to which items were mythics versus not. Like, I think, to me, looking at like bruisers and assassins, the fact that Ravenous Hydra and Black Cleaver aren't mythics seems really weird to me. Like, the fact that you can go Eclipse plus Black Cleaver, I think that's been a pretty problematic item combination for a lot of characters, and they've had to do a lot of adjustments for them throughout, like, the last year. like that could be solved if you just couldn't buy both of those items.
Yeah, but then there's a lot of like there's a lot of that is going to mm-hmm. happen, right? You're going to see like, "Oh, why can you get Ludens and Shadowflame?" right? Cuz they're both pen items. Or I don't know, why can you buy like all of the energized items like as an AD carry? I think there's always going to be like problematic item combos, and I think part of what made the Mythic system so good is that it felt like, of course, you would want to build multiple Mythic items together, and the fact that you couldn't kind of made you more like it. I think it like kind of artificially added diversity by forcing you away from what otherwise would be everyone building Ludens and then everyone building Liandry's and then everyone building like Void Staff or Death Cap, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess what I was trying to get to is I think in the pursuit of making Mythics better, I think they could have maybe looked at like, let's swap out some of these legendaries and some of these Mythics to see how that like mm-hmm. shakes things up. Cause I think, you know, particularly for like the Eclipse Black Cleaver example, it's like these are two very good items for getting through characters with armor. They give you a lot of damage, a lot of survivability, a lot of haste. Like they functionally do very similar things, and I think they combine very, very well. Which I mean, I guess that actually does kind of align with the Mythics, because I think most of the items that are like very, very similar to each other, let's say like Ludens, Shadowflame, or if you wanted to go like Liandry's plus Demonic Embrace, like Double Burn, Double mm-hmm. Pen, were available to other classes. I don't know. I think they could have tried that more to like switch things up.
I mean, I think the reality is we'll see how it pans out. I think that in a perfect world, this could be really, really good for the game. I'm just a little worried about how, because I think there's a lot of fun items, and I think all those fun items are going to be scary if they're legendary items. Mm-hmm. we'll see, right?
Yeah. Cool.
I wonder what they're going to do to Ornn passive.
They'll probably just make it so like he can do the same thing again, where he can up. Wait, how did it work before?
It upgraded the item in your first slot, right?
Yeah, so every single legendary item could be upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
I get, yeah.
Cool.
All right, so that's the preseason stuff. We've got a gameplay thoughts blog.
It's pretty boring, man. The only like interesting thing here is that they're talking about like game time, snowballing, durability, and roll balance. It's kind of just like looking at how the game has changed over like a long period of time, or even over like since the durability patch. The biggest thing that they kind of note is that during the durability patch, the patch before the durability patch was 12.9. So you were 10% more durable for Squishy Champions right after the patch, like on average, whereas right now 13.15, you're only 5% more durable. So the idea is durability has gone down like by half, or I guess the change in durability has gone down by half since the durability patch, or since after the durability patch to now. So they're looking to bring it back up a little bit, like another like couple of percent, to match what it was post durability patch.
I'm a little concerned. I was a proponent for the durability patch. I actually thought like it served its purpose and was fine. I do think there were like a lot of problematic aspects to it, and I worry that these aspects will, you know, rear their ugly heads again. I'm just not sure how the game will not become like hyper AD carry focused if a single assassin is not able to kill them, right?
Like, once again, like, I know it's a dumb thing because obviously AD carries have lower levels or whatever, but the AD carry with the lowest armor at level 18 is Zeri with 95.
Mm-hmm.
So Zeri with the lowest amount of armor is reducing physical damage by half with her base stats. Like, that's a lot, right?
It's a lot. But I mean, that is level 18, so a lot of the time that doesn't even happen, right?
Yeah, it just seems like base stats are pretty crazy. At least yeah. armor. I think the Magicka's this is in like a little bit healthier of a spot, but I guess like it's a more niche thing because obviously every character auto attacks and not every character does magic damage. But
mm-hmm. yeah, and I mean like I think it is well balanced in the game because I think the amount of damage physical damage characters do is so high, and I think they've got tons of options to get through armor really effectively, like Eclipse, Black Cleaver, Sheraldas, and you can buy all three of those in your build and ignore like 60% of armor. But you know, there definitely could be a world where they take like a really in-depth look at some of those base stats, and you know, the issue is they would have to like change everything in the game to lower those base stats, lower damage output, and make it balanced.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it is wild. We were having this conversation in the Discord where it's like, if you even look at like base HP at like level 1 and level 18, like there's an 80 carry in the top 10, I think, for both of those. And it's like, why?
Yeah, but
obviously, like...
But again, it's like level 18.
They get less stats, right, is the idea, yeah. obviously. It's like, but that being said, I still do agree with Colton that it is a weird thing to see. It's like giving them something that they... because in theory they should be lacking shouldn't be a good way to bounce around. It's like when Lissandra had the lowest mana regen in the game because she got a free spell. It's like,
yeah,
it feels like that's like kind of a little weird. That being said, I don't think the game's in a bad spot. Like, as much as like the more and more I think about it, yeah, and more yeah. I have like a healthy distance from the game, the more I think the game's pretty fucking balanced. Durability's fine. I think the main issues come from not roll balance. I think every roll is actually pretty fucking balanced, by the way. I think it's more roll, what's the word I'm looking for? Like your enjoyment of the roll, like satisfaction is the word I think mm-hmm. they use a lot of the yeah. time. That's where I think the game is in a rough spot, but I also don't know how you fix satisfaction without just making rolls too strong, right? Like, I would say top lane satisfaction is really low, AD carry satisfaction is really low, support satisfaction is fine, mid satisfaction is probably pretty low, and then jungle satisfaction is probably like average, I would assume. And it's like, fuck, how do you fix a game where three roles are not satisfied when you're in theory at a balanced spot, right? Like,
yeah, that's really tough.
It's like agency, but if people just say agency, it's like, well, what the fuck is agency? Usually in most people's mind is like doing well and winning, right? Which you can only win 50% of your games on average, right?
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird spot to be in. I feel bad for Riot trying to fix it. I'm just trying to be a positive member of the community now because I think the game is pog.
Yeah, I think I guess we should go ahead and mention there was a Broken by Concept video where they talked about what's his name? Saber's reaction and how like you know the game is ruined and it's not as good as it used to be. There's a lot of like inequality in the roles. It doesn't reward like the best player making the best mechanical play, like et cetera, et cetera. But I would recommend everyone watch it because it really like does highlight exactly how like I personally feel about the game, that it's more balanced than ever. If you're like not enjoying the game and you think like it's so vastly different, then it's probably just the failure to adapt to the game, like as opposed or to recognize that the game has changed hasn't changed like that much, all things considered. Like damage didn't used to be so much lower than it is now. Itemization wasn't like this you know peak that it used to be. I don't know, lots of things, and I feel like this was a good place to snag in a little shout out.
Yeah, I completely agree. I also think it's funny watching those two episodes back to back, like their last two, because they talk about Saber in both of them. In the first one, they didn't watch the video fully, they just kind of like saw like clippets of it, and they're like, damn, this guy's like not to misquote them, but they're pretty, like, this guy's being a baby.
Yeah.
And then in the second one, because they got a lot of obviously Saber fans who are looking up like the video, being like, you guys are fucking biased, you guys just like your business is making money from people who play the game, so of course you don't want people to quit the game. Just super funny. And then they watch the entire video and they're kind of,
they have the same opinions.
Yeah, it's like, oh no, this guy's fucking, he's so like emotionally like biased in like all of his opinions. opinions.
Yeah.
It's funny because, like, I think, like, at the core, you can, like, get value out of what Saber's saying. He doesn't enjoy the game. He doesn't like things that have changed about the game. But, dude, every single way he tries to justify it is so fucking whacked out. The clips of, like, him getting just one hit by the Fizz and being like, it's just bullshit. He can just kill me just as all. He's, like, down, like, 6 levels. The Fizz is 10 and 2 with, like, a fucking 15 stack Magi.
And he hits the, what do they call Max it? The Megalodon?
Yeah.
Like, old, like... Yeah. And
even the clips of, like, the good old days. He has, like, a bunch of good old days clips, like, how League is meant to be played. And they're all, like, just him face tanking everything as Caitlyn, just killing everyone.
Or he has, like, double frontline Morgana Lulu and, like, those are the good old days when, dude, I could 1v9.
It's so funny because, like, I think, like, there's value that should be seen in his video. I think opinions should be valued.
Yeah.
But, like, holy fuck, man. He constructed the worst video I've seen.
Yeah.
It might be the worst quitting, like, video I've seen.
Not to, like, shit on him too hard, but...
It is rough.
His
opinions are valid, and I think a lot of it comes from not only maybe... not enjoying the game as much, not enjoying things that you can't do anymore as AD carry, not enjoying where you're... He's a one-trick at the end of the day. I know people are trying to justify him not being one-trick. He's a one-trick. Not enjoying where Caitlyn is at the end of the day, because she is a... You have to win lane with this character, or else your character's kind of weak. All those things together have definitely put him in a spot where I'm sure he's questioning a lot of things. And Broken by Concept goes into that a lot about questioning identity and how that can affect your overall opinion of the game and stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting, for sure.
Yeah, it's a good two episodes. Only other thing I talk about here is roll bounce, which you kind of just got into. They pretty well just said, like, it's weird. I mean, they kind of
said jungle's 20% OP.
Dude, the freak clip said we could nerf jungle by 20%. It would probably be fine. I don't know what the fuck. I like freak a lot. That's a crazy.
Me too. He's smoking crack though.
I remember trying to justify it in, like, how he calculated the 20%, which I could kind of see that if the argument is that, like, every role is at, like, 19% agency and, like, jungle is 24, like, that math kind of maths.
Yeah.
But I don't think that that's what he was saying.
It's funny because, like, I do think the only thing that has really changed from jungle over the years, which honestly is kind of important, is we no longer have to dump gold into a jungle item, right? Which is a huge change for jungle, right? Before, like, you'd build mage, no... what was the mage jungle item, the blue one, the blue smite one, you know what I mean? Either way, you dump like 1,000 to 2,000 gold into a jungle item before you started your build, right? And the jungle item was good, but, like, it made you dump gold into something which slowed down, like, your ability to kind of take over games and stuff. And
I'll let you finish.
Just gonna say, like, I think that there's parts of that are bad. I feel like agency wise it probably feels like shit if you're a jungle player to have to fucking every game dump X number of gold into an item just because that's what you have to do. But I do think there is something to, like, merit the idea of gating a jungler to X minutes into the game where they start to build an actual build.
I really think that jungle is the biggest like, victim to the player base getting substantially better at the game.
You don't think it's AD carry? It's between AD carry and jungle, right?
No, I don't think it's AD carry. I think if you took, like, I think the best example is, like, if you took a season 5 AD carry and had them play, like, I don't know, like, 2 patches on, like, current AD carry, that they would perform better than a jungler who would have to, like, learn the role, right? And it's just, like, I think... every jungler has gotten so much better than they used to by, like, requirement. I mean, we expect, like, probably any Lee Sin above gold to be able to insect, right? But how common was that, you know, 8 years ago?
I guess we're thinking about it two different ways, because my, like, logic for the AD carry being, like, the most punished role by, like, getting better at the game and stuff is the idea that, like, it's a role that, like, you need, like, single percentage differences over your lane to, like, push advantages, Whereas like you're an 80 carry, all you have to do is fucking auto attack, wave manage, auto attack, matchup knowledge, all these things are so like hyper optimized now that like getting advantages, pushing them, holding them is so much fucking harder than it used to be. 80 carry has always been a role where like positioning is the most important thing. If you get caught out, you die. And holy fuck, over the years, dude, that has become more and more of a thing. And I think it's good. I think 80 carry is still a fucked role. I mean, fucking Trevor and I played a game earlier today where our 80 carry, I went 3-11 on top lane Renekton, and Trevor went 1-10 on mid Kassante, and our 80 carry just won the game like 20-5 or something. And it's like, that person, guess what they did? They just fucking never misplayed. They never fucking got hit by shit. They just played every fight perfectly and they solo carried the game. And guess what? If they ever got hit by anything, they probably die and we probably lose the game. And dude, 80 carry is, the reality is 80 carry is too hard for 99.5% of the player base. And that's why I think 80 carry satisfaction is so low. It feels like shit if you die in lane and your lane's over. It feels like shit if you're carrying and the fucking 5-5 mid lane assassin still kills you because you misplayed, right? And it's like, those things feel like shit, but they're the way that they have to be because 80 carry is so fucking strong when it gets to just free hit and do whatever it wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and like they, like you're saying, it kind of has to be that way. Like they don't have a lot of those same options where like, if we look at like top lane, mid lane, you know, having your strategy to just like get the kill at level 2 or level 1, like there's tons of characters who can do that and can do it consistently even at a high level, versus like most of the time as AD carry, you can't just like expect to walk up and kill them at level 2. Like there's a lot more that needs to go right, and probably what you end up doing is getting like a plus 100 HP trade, mm-hmm. or like a good wave state. You also can't just like leave your losing lane to gank another lane and have it work. like you can't do that nearly as much, I think, as an AD carry as you can in solo lanes. You're like, okay, we took like a bad 2v2. I lost 2 waves, like they got both kills, they're like up half an item and half a level, I'm just gonna go bottom and like coin flip a double kill. Like you can't, a Caitlyn walks up to mid lane, what does she do? Nothing.
Dude, it's like, funny you say that because that literally happened in one of Aiden's games today.
Yeah, our fucking, that was like Kaisa with solo carry. It's funny because yeah, she just her support's bottom lane at level 8 minutes, right? Usually like bottom lane, sometimes the support, always the support, and then sometimes the AD carry will roam up to Herald at 8 minutes for like the Herald fight. The AD carry roams up for the Herald fight, and the support just bottom lane. She just rotated for every objective as an AD carry. It was so funny. But anyways, like either way, I do think that like these small things have been micro like pushed to like their limits so fucking hard for AD carry, man. Like people, this is my favorite thing that people always like misunderstand, is people say Caitlyn's a beginner character, right? Because she has range,
yeah,
which
no.
I think is fair. Like I understand the idea. But the reason why she's a high ELO skewed character is because that's all she has. Her strength is the fact that she has 75 to 150 range on the entire AD carry cast, right? Mm-hmm. And 75 to 150 range sounds like a lot. It is a lot, but like being able to constantly abuse that 75 to 150 range based on the matchup to get in free autos without being hit is so fucking hard. And being able to do that for like the entire 15-minute laning phase is how you do well on Caitlyn. She's not a beginner character. By any fucking means of the imagination, you have to play her perfectly the entire game. I mean, AD carry, you have to play perfectly. She have to play her even more perfectly because every single time you get autoed by a Lucian as Caitlyn, dude, you're fucking up. You're fucking throwing the lane. Like you just shouldn't be autoed by that character unless he dashes forward and then you should net out onto him. It's like, fuck, I don't understand how Caitlyn's considered a beginner character. She's like AD carries. Being forced to play perfectly to the nth degree.
Net is like one of the worst abilities in the game too.
It's fucking
like
awful.
It's so bad. It gets interrupted by every single skill, like every single CC that exists. Also, my league hot take is I don't think range actually is that important unless you're like giga high ELO.
It's
which
the
makes
hardest
Caitlyn
thing
even
to do,
worse, I think. Right? Yeah.
Like in theory, we'll talk about it when we get to patch notes eventually. At
yeah.
Some point. Trinimer.
I don't actually think that change is that big.
Yeah, Trinimer's getting 50 range. And I think this will be a higher ELO skewed thing
because
most people don't space auto attacks anyways. Whereas at a high ELO, dude, oh, there's a lot of trades where Trinimer's going to get 1 to 2 extra autos, and that's going to be fucking gross.
Yeah.
But I also don't think that's a thing until like D2 plus, D1 plus. Like, I don't know. I just don't believe. Fuck it. Like, let's look at Caitlyn again, because I think she's the obvious example of spacing autos. I don't think there's D4 Caitlyn mains who space autos well enough, like, yep. to justify playing that character.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. She's fucking hard. AD carry is a hard old man. Like, that's kind of my like take. As much as I've been like an AD carry hater the last couple weeks, I'm trying to cool down a little bit. I just think the role is too hard for the average player. Like, and.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It sucks if you've played that role for 10 years and it's just slowly become harder and harder and harder and harder, and now it's too hard for you. Like, that must fucking suck.
I guess my argument for jungle is, like, you have to know probably every single matchup in the game, like, where to path against every character, like, wave states that, you know, you wouldn't otherwise have to learn.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
It's definitely one of those two, though.
The counterpoint that I would hear from, like, Dan is that, like, AD carry, like, bottom, I guess bottom is general, learning two, like, 2v2 matchups, there's so many more permutations that from 2v2 matchups than solo lanes or jungle matchups.
But Dan's also dumb, so.
Yeah, we know he's not handsome.
No.
Cool.
I really, really quick before we jump into the patch notes, I do think bringing back proper jungle items would be fine, and I think probably actually good for the game, and I think you could do it very similarly to the way they have the current system, where you could have, like, your treats, and then you can, like, buy the next iteration after a certain number of treats, and, like, do it a little bit more mixed, where, like, you still have to invest some gold in it as well as be, like, clearing camps, or you could even give, like, treats for successful ganks, because I don't like the idea of, like, screwing over a jungler because they're ganking too much or too little. Like power farm or ultra, like, constantly gank should both be at least somewhat playable, but I think
That's just because you want to power farm in all of our games.
Nah, I think power farming is a good strategy a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But that's again, that's very much a playstyle thing, but I do think that, like, every, like, different jungle styles should be viable. It shouldn't just be assassins, it shouldn't just be tanks, it shouldn't just be supportive junglers, and I think, yeah, putting jungle items back could help slow down their ability to get to, like, you know, a Graves coming out with Duskblade Collector and just one tapping people at level 9.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the lethality junglers that, like, on first, like, I know they're changing with, like, the futures market thing. We'll talk about that in a minute. On full clear with futures market, you can get Duskblade, not Duskblade. you can get
Dirk.
You can get Dirk on, like, first back, which is crazy for, like, Kane's, Graves, Hecarim's, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's jump into the patch notes.
We'll go through it pretty quick, I'm assuming.
1317. Yeah. Aatrox, his passive and W damage are being converted to magic.
This is so a buff early, by the way.
I guess, yeah, because you can't, like, stop it with armor. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, so it obviously diversifies his damage, and also, on average, characters in League have lower magic resist than armor. I don't know, it's like, honestly, a decent early game buff. Weakens is, like, mid and late, but, like, I also think that Aatrox going into the lethality builds kind of overkills people, so maybe doesn't matter.
yeah cool. Good changes, though.
Akshon is getting health growth increased, armor growth increased, attack damage growth decreased. We're gonna see this a lot. This is kind of their fix to the durability. They're going to be increasing a lot of characters' base health and base armor and stuff like that, and lowering their base damage a little bit. So
yep.
Blitzcrank, base health is up, base magic resist up, attack speed down, attack speed ratio down. Adjusting a lot of his skills, generally, let's see, less attack speed from W. They're trying to kill Jungle Blitz.
Well, Jungle Blitz is dead, so.
Yeah. Bonus damage is going up on his E, except removed for not against jungle. Well, it does more damage.
Oh, I see.
Bonus damage to monsters is gone. And ultimate, the damage is getting a mana scaling, so a little bit of bonus damage for him.
Yeah, bye, Blungle. We'll miss you.
Goodbye, Blungle.
Elise, passive bonus magic damage and healing on basic attacks increased. The E stun duration is increased as well. So cool. Buffs for Elise.
Mega Gnar base Q damage, damage increase. Mega Gnar W base damage increase. A little bit more damage for Mega.
Oh my god, 2.4 seconds at max rank cocoon. Oh, yeah. Almost as long as Morgana Q.
Yeah.
It's
2.5,
I think.
Oh, it's 2.5. I thought it was 3.
No, they lowered it a while ago, I think.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Hecarim, base stats. Let's see. Mana up, mana growth down, mana regen. None of mana regen doesn't matter. Q damage. Q mana cost is going down. W mana cost also down. The Omnivamp from it is being lowered and no longer scales with your AD. It's just flat. So, nerf?
It might be a buff to top lane Hecarim, but like not by much. Also, Morgana Q still has 3 seconds. Colton's an idiot, and I didn't believe him at all. I was just like going with him.
Dang. Fuck you. Does it start at 2 and scale up to 3?
Yeah. It's quarter second each level.
Who cares? That's copium. You're wrong. Write it down, everyone. Write it down. 603.
K and W AD ratio decreased.
Kha'Zix, QAD ratio decreased.
Kindred, E slow and percentage missing health damage are decreased.
Lux, base mana regen decreased. Passive damage increased. Q cooldown now decreased with rank. E, base damage decreased. Overall, it's pretty big buffs. So the biggest thing is her passive getting a 0.5 extra ratio, which is pretty fucking nice.
Yeah, it's a 0.05.
Yeah, sorry, 0.05. And then her Q also getting 2 seconds knocked off it as her second max ability. Those are both really nice changes for mid Lux.
Yeah, also good that they're not just buffing her E damage, which I feel like is the Lux special.
Yeah, they're lowering it by like 5 at every rank here, but they've buffed it by like 10, like 5 patches ago, so.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Nefiri, base health decreased, passive cooldown increased, pack makes now take bonus damage from melee attacks, Q damage and heal increased, I'm sorry, decreased, Q damage and heal decreased, E damage decreased. Goodbye, Nefiri. I feel like this character is probably just dead.
It's so weird. I think she's still so bad, but I guess most people think she's good.
I've seen her take over a lot of games from like a very even position. I think she's better in late game than she should be, probably just because the dogs make it so hard to actually damage Nefiri back. We're like,
it is really dumb that the dogs block skill shots, right? Like I get it because that's the way you kill them.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's really, really dumb when you're playing a character who is skill shot reliant. Let's say like Thresh, for instance. Like you're never landing a hook on Nefiri unless you get like giga lucky.
Don't pick Thresh into Nefiri.
True.
Just like you don't pick,
you know what? Good point.
Zac into Thresh, right? I mean, so Orianna's getting her health growth increased and her W base damage increased. Someone on our Discord today was like, damn, I just went 15-4 on Orianna. These W changes feel real good. they haven't happened yet.
Yeah, right? Okay.
That's funny.
That is a lot of damage to add to level 5 E.
Yeah, it's an extra 30
damage.
Yeah.
Every cast.
Cool.
Quinn, health growth increased, Q base damage decreased, E base damage decreased as well.
Samira, base health is up by 30.
Cool. Trindamir, attack range increased, attack damage decreased. So lowered his attack damage by 4, but increases attack range by 50. So this will be a high-elo skewed buff, I mean. I wonder if the AD damage will actually nerf him because his win rate at low elo. Like super low elo, that is.
Probably.
But like at high elo, dude, you're gonna get like an extra auto or two in like into like certain trades. Like it's a pretty nice change.
Yeah, I think so too. I do think it's like probably a little bit overrated from the average player. 50 range is obviously a lot, but I don't think I wouldn't say the average league player could make use of 50 attack range.
Yeah,
in a like super meaningful way.
I agree.
Twisted Fate, Q damage increased.
Woo.
Yeah, it's the ratio up 10%. Vex, Q base damage increased, W cooldown decreased. So it looks like 10 flat damage on Q and 4 seconds for early W, down, scaling down to the same cooldown at max rank.
Cool. Vi, passive shield, health scaling increased. W, cooldown reduction increased. E, cooldown decreased. R, damage decreased. So a lot of damage being knocked off her, but she's getting a little bit more tanky. So
big. Xerath, base mana regen decreased. Passive cooldown refunded on kill on unit kill increased. W, mana cost increased. So nerfs to Xerath support primarily.
Xin Zhao, passive healing is being adjusted.
Oh, so it's percentage now. Huh.
And it scales off of health.
Interesting. Yeah, being flat was like, I guess there's, I would love to see, this is going to be like the perfect check-in freaks patch rundown because he'll have a chart showing like where this will be buffs and where it'll be nerfs. Because I don't know.
Yeah, but like if you have these two items and this rune, it'll be better if you have these three items, but this you're against this character.
It's so funny.
He always puts together like spreadsheets, Colton, where like he does like at this point you'll have these items, this much health you'll have. So he'll like have it all broken down perfectly. Assuming he does it for this character. Sometimes he does just skip characters though. but check out his patch rundown. And last but not least is Zoe. She's getting base health regen increase and magic resistance reduction increase. So the magic reduction increase is no longer like scaling, so you don't have to max E to get the 30%. You just get 30% on the sleeping target right away. This is obviously a buff to all of Zoe, but this is a crazy buff to Zoe support. I think Zoe support's still slept on. She's really hard to play, but dude, fucking knocking off 30 magic resistance like level 1 E on Zoe support is crazy.
Yeah, that's really big. I almost wonder if it's like super super sick into Yumi, right? Because like you offer a lot of early pressure and she doesn't get the benefit of running double combat summoners because you just run double combat summoners. Like
you just get four
her.
Combat summoners.
Yeah, exactly. Like I feel like that's probably like super, super sick.
I think Zoe
supports in the late game. You get those big E's into your AP Kai'Sa W into Zoe. You kill everything.
I guess it does really, really suck if the sleepy, like the drowsy, that's what it is, doesn't interrupt her like channel.
But she
her ability to jump.
When can she jump off and immediately re-jump back on? Is that a thing she can ever
do? I think at max W rank.
Okay, and you max W first or you max it second?
I think you max it second.
Okay, so like in
lane.
Or
previously you max your second. I don't know if you max it second now.
Either way, like in lane, Yumi can't jump off, eat the bubble, then jump back on, right? So she'd have to be sitting off for the bubble, then jump on.
Yeah, that's true. In lane, out of lane, yeah.
Yeah. Not that fucking...
Oh, it's based on level, by the way. It's 1, 6, and 11.
Not that Yumi mains can fucking mechanically do that anyways.
That's funny. Cool. Cool. And then we got some item changes. Bloodthirster.
Why is this item getting nerfed?
It's getting buffed.
No, it's not.
It is getting buffed.
No, you have to be at above 70% to get...
AD. Oh, I see. I missed.
Dude, this item's so bad. It's built so much. Okay, it's not a bad item because it's just a shitload of lifesteal, but the item's not good till level 15. Level 15 is when it starts getting actual stats. People build this fucking second on some characters. And
I think you just see big attack damage numbers, and I actually think it's better on non-AD carries than it is on AD carries
right
now.
Like, Rengar is a good user.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, I don't know. This item getting nerfed, I mean, I think the item's, like, bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Duskblade. The untargetable effects will not block towers, and it's functionally changed to match other untargetable effects. No longer makes the owner immune to damage while untargetable and will destroy incoming non-tower projectiles when
triggered. The biggest thing
triggered.
Is like if you get you ignite someone and they Duskblade kill you, they don't damage from the ignite while in the Duskblade proc. That's like the biggest thing that you'll see here.
Okay, thank God. Yeah, that's what I was thinking was like damage over time effects that are already on you still applying. Because that's super frustrating when somebody survives like... I think in the 1v1 is when it's the most tilting, where like they dodge two ticks of ignite that would have killed them because of Duskblade. I get so upset.
Yeah, that sounds good. Eventrad is next. It's getting its damage amplification changed from 10% to 7%. Dude, that's a big change.
It is a huge change, and I feel like it's only because Yone started building it.
Yone Yasuo, yeah. I mean, I think it's just...
I guess it's also... It's also really good on like tank engage junglers and, top laners.
It's a good item. Yeah, top. I mean, fucking every lane like builds it right now. Now obviously, it's their primary item, but like tons of tops build it. Obviously, fucking the Wind Bros are doing it now. Every like engage support does it. It probably didn't need this big of a nerf, dude. Getting nerfed by 33% of its effectiveness is crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it is weird because like, if only supports could buy it, it would be okay. But there's no way to really make it so only supports could buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. Gorgrinkar getting more health and being built from Phage instead of Caulfield's Warhammer. Mortal Shield Bow is getting buffed for early levels. Yeah, buffed for early levels. Spear of Shojin is getting a recipe change. I see. It's going from BF sword to pickaxe. The combined cost is being increased. The attack damage is lowered. The health is up by 150. And
someone smarter than us will explain the Dragon Force passive because I've read this so many times.
It's a buff before 200 bonus attack damage, and then it's a nerf.
Okay,
is what Riot is saying.
That's good. when I was reading the patch preview, I was like, I have no idea what this means.
Yeah. Yeah.
Static shift. Generally less haste. You're getting less haste from that.
Yeah.
Which again, after 200 AD, which like is typically Spear of Shojin is going to be your second. Not many people get it first item. If it's your second item, your base AD plus 2 AD items is over 200. It's a nerf.
It's bonus AD, bonus AD only. Though.
Oh, bonus.
So it's I mean, a lot of people build it fourth coverage. Though, right? And that's where it's spread. Once again, this is a look at Freak's patch rundown and like look at the breakpoints.
He'll do the math for us.
Mm-hmm. Static shift, bonus damage against champions down. The AP ratio is down. I see. Yeah. Again. Stride Breaker. That item has gone from, 100% AP ratio to 15 now?
It was over 100% on champions. It was like was 150%, it? I think, on champions.
Okay. Insane. Stride Breaker is getting a little bit more health. Futures Market is getting nerfed early and buffed late.
Just for context, if you're doing the early recall for Lost Chapter, your breakpoints almost don't change at all. And if you start, instead of starting Sapphire refillable, just start Sapphire 2 pots, and then it's literally zero difference. The big person who's affected by Futures Market change, for those who care, is the junglers who full clear into Dirk. They will have to wait like an extra like 20 seconds if they full clear into Dirk at like optimal speeds. So that's like the only person who's really affected by this. Overall, this is like a nothing nerf.
Mm-hmm. And then Ketchup Experience is.
Can I just quickly explain this because it's very confusing? Yeah, yeah. So currently, the way that Ketchup Experience works is the average level in the game determines what the jungle monsters are. So if the average level in the game is 3, the jungle monsters will be level 3, right? And if you are a level below the jungle monster level, you will get catch-up experience, right? The way it currently works before this patch is that this number is rounded up no matter what. So if the average level in the game if the average level in the game is 3.1, it will round up to 4.
I see.
Which is a little wacky because that can mean like there's tons of scenarios early game where junglers can not clear camps and then get like crazy snowball. There's a good clip on Jungler's channel who I forgot to name. I'll probably link it in the Discord at some point where a Nidalee just fucking invades him and plays like shit for 5 minutes, like trying to steal his buffs.
It was Nice. Right?
No, it's not a Nice thing. It's somewhere else. Yeah, I know that. Okay. No, it's not. Either way, like he gets like just the Nidalee fucking does nothing. He gets invaded. He does his Raptors into his Krug because Nidalee's invading him. She does his red. He goes down to her bottom. He does her Raptors, her Krugs. She passed all the way from topside after doing only his red to his her red. She gets both reds. He gets Raptors, Krugs, and she's even level. It's like, because like at that point he gets 2 camps, so he's level 2. Everyone in the game is level 2. She hasn't farmed anything, so the first camp that she takes puts her to level 2, and then by the time she gets all the way down to red, everyone in the game on average is level 3. So her just doing 2 camps gets her level 3, which is fucked. Where you shouldn't be able to get level 3 off 2 camps. So this is going to hopefully curb a lot of those like weird scenarios.
Interesting. Okay. There's a patience bar for dragon, some ARAM adjustments, Blue Essence Emporium is coming back. There'll be some new illustration icons for champions purchasable for RP. Lots of bug fixes and some cosmic skins for Belveth, Nautilus, Scion, Nunu, and the infamous Jin Chroma will come out this patch.
Nice. Cool. Should we move on to the next section, Colton?
Yeah, let's go ahead and jump into quick roundtable and then we can grab
One more thing I wanted to highlight after the patch. So 2 weeks ago on patch 13.15, there was an undocumented change to Kassadin. Kassadin got his R changed from whatever base damage with a 0.4% ratio, Colton, to his ult is now a 0.6% ratio.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy? Dude, his win rate jumped like 2.5%. That's a fucking crazy.
Yeah.
it's nowhere in the patches. Wild. It's on live. You can like damage check it. It is actually like 0.6 now. Dude, Kassadin's fucked with that change.
Yeah, that's insane.
But anyways, play Kassadin.
Thanks, Riot.
Yeah. Anyways, we can jump into the roundtable, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
So last week, the question was, what are your thoughts on re-releasing legacy skins from our Twitter? Nas Ejo said, not a fan, to be honest. I'm still kind of salty about them re-releasing Championship Riffin. I was so proud when I bought it back in 2012, but on some level, I guess I wouldn't be too mad if it happened. Who am I to deny people some skins? True. Pards Bay, I said, I think a lot of skins are legacy for a reason, that reason being that they don't look good, but if people like them, they should be able to buy it. I'm someone who really wants Rusty Blitzcranks, but if it wasn't locked away and was readily available for all, I don't think I'd buy it. That is actually a good point. I really want Rusty Blitzcrank and Black Alistar. Those are two skins I want the most. I think I probably wouldn't care for them as much if everyone had them.
Yeah, or like you wouldn't use them ever.
Yeah, I would use them occasionally because I like using old skins, but I wouldn't use them every game like if I had them now. I would use fucking Rusty Blitzcrank every game. But anyways, Brandon said, it's kind of a mixed bag. The skins have gone up in terms of quality and quantity, that the legacy skins would need a massive refresh in order for people to purchase or unlock them. That being said, I think very rare skins should be kept in that rarity, else we'd see that skin go for thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars, and that's not sustainable. Yeah, imagine if it was a free market for skins. You could just resell your skins in client for, like, real money.
Mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, like, that exists in CSGO, and you get skins worth thousands of dollars.
Dude, I could sell my packs,
and then you get, like, whole gambling ecosystems.
Honestly, I'm down for it, dude.
CSGO skins.
I think we own enough rare old skins that we should be for this.
yeah, we would make money. We'd make bank.
I was looking at, like, Black Alistar accounts, because you can buy accounts that have the skins. Black Alistar accounts are, like, $1,800, I think, like, right now. Pax Jack skin accounts are like
disclaimer. We would never purchase accounts because that's against the summoner's code.
Dude, I would never purchase a Black Alistar account for that much. Rusty Blitzcrank accounts are like 180. I was like, man, that's almost like
yeah. What about King Rammus? I feel like King Rammus would be even more.
Yeah, I wonder. Like, at least everyone who played and was decent at the game, I guess, got King Rammus back in beta. Whereas, like, you had to put money on your account and purchase. I wonder what the difference. Because in theory, Blitzcrank's more accessible because anyone can get it, but like, also, how many people are buying skins in 2009 versus just playing the game and getting King Rammus for free?
Yeah, that's an interesting. I also feel like Victorious Jarvan would be up there.
Oh, dude, selling a Victorious skin on your account for like $200. Oh, I'd get rid of fucking my Victorious skins. Oh,
for sure.
Cool.
This week's question.
What are your thoughts on Riot adding a third rank split? We kind of went over this already, so
yeah, we talked about that earlier.
If you want to let us know what your thoughts are, you can hit us up on our Twitter at LeakCast. You can send us an email, mail@leakcastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. That's discord.gg/leakcast.
Yeah. And on to the final section of the show, Mail Fight. We're going to try and get through a couple of these before we wrap things
this
up.
This one I forgot to re-add. Remember when we like didn't read the emails and then I deleted them all and then Nick re-added them? Nick missed re-adding this one, so I felt bad. It's from Citrus Melons.
Gotcha. Citrus Melons from Oceania. Wanted to respond to the roundtable of which two champions I have the highest mastery on being combined into one character with like neither alt. His would be Vladimir and Kha'Zix. It would really suck losing Vlad ult, but feel like it would still be quite strong. And he says, your podcast get me through the days of the office. Thanks, guys. Yeah, I feel like that could be pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
the biggest issue is that both of those kits have really low cooldowns late game, and there's no way you're switching forms using it efficiently.
Dude, the idea of using a Vlad Q, switching to Kha'Zix using full combo, switching back to Vlad to get your empowered Q.
Yeah, right. Ooh. And then like late game, it's like his E is like a 1 second cooldown.
Yeah, that's cool. Next is from Aiden. Hey y'all, Aiden here. This is funny. I wanted to respond to your topics over the past 2 weeks. First on toxicity, I completely agree with you guys. Ever since I first listened to your show, I see you three as a voice of reason in League. Your approach in all situations from unbiased view, giving both sides of the situation. This is why myself, and I am sure many others, continue to listen to the show. I wanted to personally thank you because I realized someone I play League with had the same mentality as you described. Summed up as they say my champ is bad, their champ is broken, and of course sometimes we say it and we don't mean it that hard, but this person certainly is meaning it. I realized that it was too much for me and I started to mute them when we played, and honestly it made me feel much better. It also put me in a much better mindset. I'm still taking a little break from the game just to cool off for I don't know how long, and I already feel better while still interacting with League through the podcast and YouTube. Wanted to personally thank you for promoting such a positive community. I'm sure lots of others feel the same. Every time I play community games, the energy is so positive and I love it. The second thing is, two shows ago, you guys touched on how the balanced team has to focus super hard on pro play. I've always had the idea that they could just do two different patches between amateur and pro. Both the games have different mechanics. Anyways, like draft and voice chat, I personally wouldn't mind, as I would also like to see pro players explore new picks, be a trailblazers instead of picking Lucian Nami for 2 years or however long it's been. Please let me know the pros and cons of this idea if you can, and thank you so much again, Aiden.
Let me start up by saying I'm extremely biased a lot of the time.
I think it's like healthy though sometimes.
I think we all try to, at least in our conversations when we're like seriously talking about it, minimize those or at least give a disclaimer of like, hey, this is coming from a, you know, Tom Kench main who thinks Tom Kench is this way.
Or at least like in like the short term, right? Like everyone, like as soon as you're in the heat of the moment, when you fucking die to something, you go, that character is fucking stupid. That character is like the dumbest thing in the game. And then you immediately like take a step back or even give it like a day or so. Like I've been like the amount of conversations I've had on the Discord recently where I have one opinion one day, I have a different opinion day two, and then a week later I have a third opinion because I just think about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so let's jump to, I guess, the big question, the question of having a different patch for pro play versus regular ranked play. And I think there's a whole bunch of issues that happen with this, because then are pros only practicing on pro patch? Where does that cutoff happen? How does that cutoff happen? And if they aren't and they have to practice on regular ranked, when they go into the pro patch, their knowledge of their damage numbers and like their who wins X matchup changes, right?
How do you become a pro? Like if you're like playing on ladder and you do a bunch of really good stuff, does that actually translate to the pro patch because it's so different? Like it's very confusing.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues there. And then like, okay, then do we say like GM plus is on like elite balance patch? Then that sucks for like masters players just as much. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of issues. It's really tough to balance the game around every level of play, and I don't think you ever really can. I think it's just a matter of Riot trying to minimize discrepancies between levels of play and just having to sort of pick a priority, and I think that they have picked the priority of like balancing more so around high elo, because if you have to change the balance of the game to account for people playing the game like objectively wrong in a lot of ways, then you have to make a whole bunch of like really weird bad balance decisions where it's like at a certain point then do you start saying like, okay, well we're gonna like buff Yasuo damage because it's hard to play Yasuo, but then people who are good at Yasuo just 1v9 every game, like that doesn't work. I don't think they could ever really do separate patches or like separate balance between amateur and pro.
I understand where the idea comes from. I think the idea is like fine. Yeah. I just think it doesn't work in practice, right? Like,
I think trying to go to that next step, it breaks down.
I also think that just like something that like we talked about a little bit, obviously he's like referencing it, is like I do think they should just probably like try to balance less for pro. Like obviously the game is very trickled down to some degree outside of like execution heavy things. Like execution heavy things, like Fuhrer is never going to be OP in low elo unless she's like turbo broken in pro play, but the game is trickle down. But I still think that you can kind of just let pro exist and balance for the majority of the player base, and if anything, like for example, if they balance for the majority of the player base and they're they buff Qiyana or whatever, because they're trying to make Qiyana playable at like gold, platinum, and she becomes too strong for pro play, like you can nerf it, I guess, but like balancing around like gold, plat, emerald is probably maybe better for the overall health of the video game.
Yeah, I would say that's generally pretty true, because that's like a large bulk of the player base. I think additionally, there's some level of like you would hope that at that highest of high levels, they figure that out and then come up with counterplay accordingly, rather than just we just handshake like Qiyana, Cassidy in every game, and it's like those are the two good ones. You get one, we get one. Hooray!
That's the issue, right? Is that doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen. But I think it's also because like of how quickly things do get like buff nerfed. That being said, like you said, like Lucianami existing for as long as it has, it's a weird thing where like adaptations don't really happen quickly. I could see them doing like a separate balance for like bronze and iron.
Yeah, that actually like maybe like a training like type
mode. Right, yeah, where it's just like, hey, obviously you're not gonna execute, but like also I don't think anyone's gonna be mad that it's like, oh, okay, X character is really strong in like bronze, like okay, great, like that's for newer players, like the very bottom segment. Everything past that, everyone's on the same playing field.
Or like, you know how like in Cult versus AI, like the turret outlines are online, like is there an issue with those turret outlines being on in iron bronze? Like is that actually like bad? You know what I mean?
I don't think so, but I also think we're in a weird perspective of like, as bad as it is to say, like neither of us consider games in bronze like competitive.
Yeah,
right, we're like, it's not as simple as this, but like a common thing that gets thrown around with players who are like a higher level, it's like, how are you in bronze if like you have hands at all?
Yeah.
Now again, obviously it's not that simple, but you know, I'm sure there are people in bronze who would be very upset where like you're ruining the competitive integrity of our bronze games.
Yeah, and just to give Riot some credit, they do nerf based off different elos. Most of it is like high elo skewed, just because once again the game is trickle down at the end of the day. People watch pro play and emulate stuff, yada yada yada. But if you ever go to any of their patch notes, in their like big patch notes like image, they have a key that shows they balance based on four different sectors: average play, which is iron to emerald 3, I think it's Emerald 3. Let me like blow it up. Iron to Emerald 3, Skilled, which is Emerald 2 to Diamond 2, Elite, which is Diamond 1 to Challenger, and then Pro League. And then they highlight all their nerfs. I think they used to do it for buffs as well, but they only do it for nerfs now, of which one of these is related. For example, the Nefiri nerfs this patch are highlighted for average and skilled play. So they're obviously not seeing her as an issue in pro and elite and pro play, Diamond 1 plus and pro, but they're seeing her as an issue between iron to diamond 2. So it's cool that they highlight that. They still do look at other parts of the game. We've seen tons of times where they've nerfed a Mumu and people are like, why the fuck are they nerfing a Mumu? It's because he gets a 54% return at iron or whatever, but it happens less often.
Yeah.
Cool. All
right. Thanks for the email, Aiden. On to the next one from Liggy Joe. Hey, it's Liggy Joe here. I wanted to say that I wholeheartedly agree with the statement that true trolling really isn't as common as people make it out to be. That being said, and maybe this is some recency bias or other effect, but it is still an issue. It feels to me that so many of my games this season have fallen victim to what I call soft trolling. It can range anywhere from splitting while the ally Nexus is being destroyed, or taking fights that they should really know that they don't win, but the core of it is just not trying to play as well as a result of tilting or some other reason. It may not be Disco Nunu, but there is still something so frustrating about a ranked player who's clearly not playing their best to win, along with the fact that it's not something that's punishable, because how could you punish it? Obviously, there's many things I can be doing better, and I'm sure it is more common in low elo games. I play it around gold elo, but at the very least, it is making my climb feel slower and make games feel more like I'm a therapist trying to give my teammates affirmations rather than a fighter in a fighting game. What made me want to write an email was the fact that my 2 out of 5 of my past losses were because of me being outvoted 4-1 before 20 minutes in games that we were hardly even losing, so in my opinion. Those are really sad. So I was wondering about any tips you guys have used to dealing with fragile mental teammates on your climb. I think this is not an issue you would experience in the long term, but like one way to just flat solve this issue, if you feel like it really is just duo, because you can hostage hold the entire game.
Yeah. there's games where I'm doing with Trevor, like say we're on a Smurf account playing on like a different server or whatever, right? Like trying to hit, when we played on LAN, for example, there's games where it's just like, oh no, if we get to 30 minutes, we will win the game because we're just better players and we're doing. So you just hostage hold games and you just win them.
Yeah, that being said, I wouldn't recommend generally doing that. Unfortunately, it does happen sometimes, but I think the root of your question with like soft trolling, that's the entirety of like the problem, is that it's not yes or no. We've said it 100 times before. It's a spectrum. And when you get down to it, like drawing the line is really, really difficult. And every player is going to have that line a little differently, right? I might say that Aiden deserves to be banned because he went the wrong mythic. You know, Aiden might say that I deserve to be banned because I picked my 48% win rate Vladimir instead of my 53% win rate Aurelion Sol.
Just an example, like today I'm playing on my D2 account with like D1 MMR, right? And I played Renekton 3 games today. I also played a fucking Lissandra top game. It's like, dude, I had one really good game of Renekton, and then I fucking ran it in 2 games. And it's like, because I'm playing a character I don't play in an ELO where I'm a one trick at, right? It's like, is that trolling?
Yeah.
To a lot of people, probably. If you were in my game and I went 3-10 on Renekton and
upset,
then queued up again and went 2-7, it seems like I'm not trying to win. I promise you, I am trying to win these games. I'm just not very good at this character. And it's like, Colton, I've been trying to do this for like a year or something. We should sit down sometime this week and finally put together that trolling survey where it's like, you try everyone, like it's like a list of like 100 things of like, is this trolling? Is this not trolling? And they select yes or no for all of them. And then you have to organize them all of like, what's the most trolling? What's the least trolling? Because I want to see where everyone's line is. That's so interesting.
Yeah. And I think part of that question is like, you know, my biggest question when a lot of people say like X is trolling is, do you think the player should be banned for this? Because I think a lot of people are very quick to say, yes, this is trolling. But then you ask them, should this person be banned for this, right? Like if let's take your Renekton game, like you went 3-11, should this player be banned for this? And a lot of players in the heat of the moment would say yes. And then if you look in their match history, you'll find a game that they're 3-11, and you'll realize that no player in the entire game would have an account anymore.
I mean, that's the thing.
People lose lanes sometimes.
If we looked at Liggy Joe's account, we're not trying to obviously be like attacking by any means. We completely understand the thoughts and feelings and everything. If we look through your account and we started to scrutinize everything, right? There'd be like lots of things that we'd question, like, oh, why are you playing Lissandra's game? You usually just play Orianna. Like, are you comfortable enough to play Orianna in XELO? It's like, fuck, man, the line's everywhere.
Yeah, right. And like, it depends on your elo, right? Where it's like, you're a gold player playing in gold elo versus like, let's take Aiden and put him as a like master tier player in gold elo. Sure, he can play Lissandra top because he's probably gonna fucking 20-0 his opponent because he's a master tier player. Mm-hmm. But he's also still not like playing his ideal best character.
Wait, like, you're playing Cassante? Colton, Cassante is a 46% winner character. Like, like, you know what I mean? It's like, there's everything. Yeah. Oh, I want to do that. We should do that sometime, like, next week or two.
Yeah, definitely. So I would say generally, though, it is very frustrating to experience. try to humanize it a little bit, and like certainly you can be upset in the moment, and like I don't even think it's that bad to be like, I think it's very normal in the game to be like, man, like it really sucks, like top cap, whatever. Like obviously don't attack the person, but like if you need to say top cap in the end game chat to like get over it and go on to your next one, sure. Like I don't have a huge problem with like minimal stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, like I definitely have said that many times where it's just like, man, I guess I just rolled the wrong team when it's like I won my lane, but every other position on my team lost. Like, but I'm not going to go in and attack that person and like add them after the game and call them bad things.
Yeah,
like,
you're not crazy.
I'm just going to like put my little one message to really to nobody just so I can get it off my chest and like move on with my next game.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I would just really consider it like, do you think that this is really a bannable offense? And if you really do think it is, can you go through your match history, look at 20 games, and tell me nothing that you've done in those 20 games would also be a bannable offense?
It is like, the difference of like, they know for a fact they weren't, like they were trying their hardest, assuming that they actually were, obviously, whereas it's very hard to judge the intention of a random stranger on the internet who is wasting in quotes your time, right?
Yeah. And I just think it's again, yeah, it's so hard because like if you want to go fully on that spectrum, like of if you're not giving 100% of your ability to win, like then you're trolling. It's like, sure, I would only be able to play League of Legends like 4 days a year because it's like, am I in the right mental state? Did I get enough sleep? Am I eating well? Like, did I have a good, like, you know, am I hydrated enough? Like, right? Is the AC set properly in
my
fucking
building? For last season where I would, every single time I'd go to play on my main, I would play on my Smurf account. I would have to play well. And if I played well on my Smurf account, which is the same ELO as my main, I would then allow myself to play a game on my main account. Like, fucking no one does that. No one does that. And also, if let's just say if that is the we want everyone to do, I'm also in theory trolling on my Smurf account because I'm not doing
it. Yeah, exactly. Like you need a second layer and you need a third layer.
Yeah,
you need to play 25 games before you're allowed to play a game on your main.
And don't get me wrong. When I did that, dude, my main games were so high quality. I fucking played well constantly. But that's just such a not realistic thing to expect someone to do.
Yeah, and like ultimately what it then comes down to though is that like on that main account you will reach a higher rank because of that process, and regardless, like there will be people who aren't doing that process who are just better than you and to like wake up first game of the day play at that level.
Yeah.
Right. And then there's going to be people who wake up first game of the day and play at Challenger 1000 LP level. And there are, you know, people who wake up and play at Faker level. Right. Like, and do you think that like Faker plays four games on his Smurf account before he goes on to KR Challenger? Probably not. I mean, I don't know his process. Maybe he does, but like he certainly could just like wake up, roll out of bed and like play on KR Challenger and do well. Like, you know, whatever you're doing, the level of trolling you're doing is gonna, you know, affect whatever elo you're at, and ultimately it levels out, and all of those thousands of factors are going to level out at whatever rank that you currently are.
Yeah,
right? Like good mood, enough sleep, Colton is maybe a Masters 150 point player, and bad mood, tilted, it's 3 a.m and I'm still playing ranked, Colton is maybe a D4 player. And you know what happens? Those things balance out and I end at D2, right? Like, that's just how the game works. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's a conversation we've had many, 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 many times. So I do think it is worth talking again, though.
Yeah, we'll eventually actually do the trolling spectrum, and I think it'll be a really fun experiment. So next one is from...
Two more emails, yeah.
Next one's from Large Dad. This one says, good evening, gents. I have a different email today that you've come to expect of me. I have a joke, but I also have something else to add. Oh, and we're back. I think our audio cut out or something. Anyways, thank you so much for the email, Large Dad. Sorry about the audio cutting out. Hopefully it was understandable. I think we're just having storms or something.
Next email from Arman. Hey, LeagueCast crew. My friends and I have funny nicknames for a lot of champions, and we frequently use them while playing. Some examples, Garen is Justice Chad, Tom Kench, Senor Swallows. My personal favorite, Quinn, is Eagle Karen. Just wondering if you and your friends have any fun nicknames for champions. Keep up the great podcast. I haven't had much time for League since my son was born back in March, but I always feel like I'm still in the loop thanks to the podcast. Thanks for reading my email, R-Man. I don't know about champions, but I mean, like, there's a bunch of, like, abilities, mm-hmm. items, like, you know, certain things that happen that, like, we have silly names for, of, like with the snowballs on ARAM, like Plimble and Plumble, mm-hmm. or calling Bard Chimes Chingles. Like, I think every, like, friend group of people playing League of Legends come up with silly names for things.
Yeah, the only one that comes to mind, not character name, but, like, ability, is, it's kind of a character name. It's just whenever Garen's on screen, he does anything, it's just Spinner, which is, like, a, like, old, like, season 2 playing with my friends thing, where our friend would mm-hmm. always go Garen, he'd only play Garen, he just, all he would do is just go Spinner.
Yeah, and then, like, there are certainly a lot of them that have become more, like, known throughout the entirety of the community, like calling, like, the Gragas combo, like, Bomba. But I feel like that also at a certain point became just like, I'm gonna do a big combo here on any character.
Dude, people fucking, we had this on our Discord a couple days ago, people were asking why people call Mordekaiser's alt Brazil, like taking them to Brazil. Yeah. And they were like, oh, it's because, like, they take them, like, somewhere far away or something. Like, they couldn't figure it out. It's like, that's a season, like, one meme of, like, mm-hmm. There was no Brazil server, so people would from Brazil would play on NA, and because you had super high ping, you'd play low mechanical characters, like Mordekaiser, for example.
Yeah, back when his R was point and click, do 40% of their max health over 12 seconds.
Yeah, so the meme was like, fuck, what was the meme? I know it was the
Wait, Mordekaiser's numero uno in Brazil.
Yeah. And it's like, fuck, yeah. It's just so funny seeing people, like, know people are referencing it, don't know why they're referencing it. And then obviously when they did the Mord rework, people were just like, oh, it's funny because you're sending them to Brazil. But, like, that's from, like, season
yeah.
one.
Yeah, there's a lot of, yeah, jokes that, like, survived from season one. And it is really funny, like, when things survive, especially, like, if an ability has changed and, like, just doesn't exist in that form anymore, but the joke still does.
Dude, fucking, one thing I haven't seen, like, probably 10 years is someone saying, like, press D to dance or press, like, whatever, right? Which
press F for fire.
Yeah, like, because the old meme was, like, when the game was newer, you'd type in alt chat, like, press D to dance, and you'd be standing mid and your character would be dancing because you type slash D, and then someone just burns flash because they try to dance.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely we do. I think that would also be a fun roundtable maybe sometime. It's just like, what little things does your, like, play group call stuff in League of Legends? It's not
yeah.
the actual names.
That's super fun.
Yeah. So thank you for the email, R-Man. That is it for emails. So we are wrapping up the show. If you have emails to send us, you can email us at mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. If you want to watch us stream, you can go to twitch.tv/kinglardout. Blue Basket or Leaguecast Frost. Leaguecast Frost is the one that's online the most often. You can tweet at us, twitter.com/leaguecast. I think isn't it x.com now?
Yeah, it's fine. They'll figure it out. I think it still has a redirect, maybe? I'm assuming, yeah. It still redirects.
Facebook.com/leaguecast. You can visit our website, leaguecastpodcast.com. Join our Discord. That's where it's happening. That's the conversations, the community games, the pet pictures, the rants, the balance discussions. All of it's happening in Discord. Go to leaguecastpodcast.com/Discord, and you'll be popped right into the server. And lastly, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leaguecast. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.